Good morning. Well, it's good to see you. You know, as we're coming to this message this morning, I just want to give you a heads up. Today's message is a little different. It's a little different thing than we might be used to doing on Sunday morning. I mean, because about a month ago, maybe many of you realize this, but there was a document leaked from the Supreme Court about a case that was being argued, that had been argued before them, to which we realized that it looked like, if things happen as that document suggested, that the Roe versus Wade was going to be overturned by the Supreme Court. And in doing that, potentially ending the legal act of abortion from a federal level and moving that and shifting that in our country. And because of this, over the past month, there's been a lot of tension that has come up around this topic. And maybe you've been experiencing that, as I've even heard from some of you, because some are celebrating and some are angry. Some are worried and some are protesting. And I've heard, as I've just talked to many of you in the church, how this has just sparked conversations that haven't happened in a really long time. Conversations at work, conversations with family members, conversations with friends. And you find yourself talking with all these people, even members of your own family, and people are finding some that are agreeing, some disagreeing. Some of them are arguing. Some of them are angry and fighting. And so in light of this and what's been happening in the world around us, we realize as a church, we need to take a few moments, the elders, the pastors, the ministry leaders, realize we need to kind of slow down and take a Sunday like this and look at what's happening in the world around us and see, so what is our response as a church? What is our response as believers, as those who say we want to follow Jesus with the issues that are in front of us? But as we come to this today, I want you to understand that today is not just about what we might believe about abortion. In fact, what we're going to talk about today, that's just going to be a little piece of it. Because what it's about is how we are going to respond as those who claim the name of Jesus. How are we going to respond to what's happening in the world around us? With those that might agree, with those that might disagree, and what's happening in our culture. And the thing is, what I want to encourage us with today, and this is so important, this has got to be our starting point as a church. We have to create a distinction, a separation from politics. As we talk today, we got to shift our conversation away from maybe different political leanings and ideologies and that conversation that we often tend to find ourselves rushing toward when we come to hot topics of this day, and instead come back and say, how do we as a church come to a biblically centered conversation about who God has called us to be and how we're to respond to what's happening in the world around us? It's got to be a biblical conversation we have today. And then, church, hear this. It needs to keep being a biblical conversation. As we leave the doors, as we walk out, where it's driven by the gospel that Jesus came and delivered to us, that each of us give it know and have been able to experience. Because the truth is, in the world around us, in politics, laws are going to come, laws are going to go. Things are going to change, and they're always moving. But the truth is, of who God has called us to be as his church, as his ambassadors, as his people, as those that claim his name, who he has called us as to be as his kingdom in this world, living in this world around us, that never changes, regardless of what's happening in the world around us. But you know what? As this topic has come up, it's caused me to do a little research and reading. And as I came across some stuff over the past couple weeks, I started asking questions. So what will change? In light of Roe versus Wade potentially being overturned, so what's going to change? And you know what I found out? The truth is, not much. There are at least 16 states where this will change absolutely nothing when it comes to the topic of abortion. There are 21 states that will still allow most abortions. There may be some restrictions and some limitations, but at least 21 states, if not more, where most of the abortions that we see happen in the United States will still happen. And that means that with at least 37, maybe 40 states, at least in the United States, 90% of abortions, even after this is overturned, will still happen. There's 10 states that maybe would not allow for abortion depending on what happened. We don't know what's going to happen with them. In fact, even though Wisconsin has on the books a law that would make abortion illegal in light of Roe versus Wade getting overturned, the Attorney General of Wisconsin has already said they're not going to enforce that law. They're not going to expect people to enforce that. They don't want to change anything. And so the truth is, we don't really know what's going to happen. This is going to end up in the courts. It's going to end up in more legislation. The politics side of it, it's just going to keep getting messy. But regardless of what's happening over there, you know what's happening now in our nation? It has the attention of the people again. It has the attention of God's people, and it has the attention of those who don't know him and don't follow him. And because of that, we have to be ready as a church to really consider how will we respond biblically to what's happening in the world around us. And when I say biblically, I'm not just speaking to respond biblically to what we believe about abortion. When I say biblically, I mean how will we respond in a way that shows people Jesus, that shows the heart of who God is, that what we do and what we say looks like what Jesus would do and what we say. Well, we want to be a church that is led and empowered by the Holy Spirit that truly models the compassion of Jesus that we saw echo throughout his ministry. Because the truth is, church, and we need to hear this and keep coming back to this, our actions, all right, our actions are going to be the true measure of what we claim to believe about Christ more than anything that we might just say. Our actions are going to be the true measure of what we believe about Christ more than anything we might say. So I want to start this morning with what we believe, because as we've been thinking about this, we realize this is a conversation that's much bigger than one topic. It's much bigger than the topic of abortion. This is a topic of how we biblically see all life, all ages, everyone that God has created in his image. And so I want to read this to you as something that we've come to kind of be able to say, this is what we believe as a church. The Bible teaches about all of life. At Bethany Church, we believe that human beings are created by God in his image. We affirm that every person from womb to the end of their earthly life has been given by God inherent dignity, value, and immeasurable worth. Therefore, we believe that we are called to honor and protect all human life, including but not limited to preborn babies, children of all ages, adults in all stages of life, those with special needs, and others marginalized by society. Because we want to be a church that lovingly advocates for biblical mercy and biblical justice, especially those who cannot speak for themselves. And as you hear that, there's a lot to take in with that statement. And I know we could read it like 3 or 4 times and we could start to unpack it, but that's really not the goal necessarily this morning. But it's to consider that in all of that, the reason it might feel like there is so much there is because we recognize that it's definitely more, like I said, about one issue. It's about every human being created in the image of God. For to God, everyone that he has created is a life that is sacred to him. As we sing this morning, every human being that has been created is a life that he loves in this world around us. But again, this statement, like we can have statements like this, guys. We can have the Bible verses that we know and absolutely can quote and all of that. But again, nothing matters without action. Our actions will be the true measure of what we believe about Christ more than what we say. Because I don't know about you, but when I have conversations with people outside the church, here's the deal. They know what we believe. They know what we believe. They know what we might say. They might know convictions. If you've gone to people and you've talked about what you believe the Bible teaches about human life, they've heard it. Many of them maybe even grew up in churches that said it. So the question isn't as much, do they know what we believe? The question is, do they see Jesus in who we are inside the walls of our church and outside the walls of our church? Because there's something that we want to come to this morning that was seen throughout the life and ministry of Jesus that absolutely needs to be at the center of the life and ministry of who we are at Bethany Church, who God has called us to be, to reflect Jesus. And that means to live like Jesus means that we have to be a people that live with compassion. In Matthew 9, verse 36, we see a verse, but it's one of many that we could come to that describes the ministry of Jesus. It describes the heart of Jesus and describes Jesus as he looked out and he saw the crowds of people, some of them that liked him, some of them that hated him, some of them that were for him, some of them that were against him, some of them that didn't quite know what they thought. But he looked and he saw the entire crowds that were out there, and he said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. I like how the Amplified Bible says it as it describes. It says that he was moved with compassion. Something happened in him and that stirred something as he felt what he felt for them. And as we get to this word compassion, if we come back to again what the original audience would even read as they saw this word compassion describing Jesus, what they would have known is that he was saying that deep within their being, there was just this overwhelming force This is how we describe it, just this overwhelming force that as he looked out and he saw the people, he could not help, except by what he saw, that have a deep, heartfelt, caring movement in his heart of compassion that would drive what he would do. Because throughout the Gospels, if we were to look at the life and ministry of Jesus, we will see that not only did Jesus have compassion, but that compassion drove everything that he did. Compassion drove the ministry of Jesus. It wasn't just that he felt compassion, but it drove what he did and how he did it. I mean, look at these stories alone in the gospel. Look at all these. This is just the gospels where it specifically mentions compassion, where it's describing the ministry of Jesus. It doesn't just describe what he felt. It described what he felt and what he did because of what he felt. It drove his ministry. I read this week from one commentary, and it described just the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the ministry of Jesus. And it said, the compassion, the Gospels, it's always used to describe this attitude of Jesus because it helped characterize the divine nature of his acts. We should see his compassion as a part of his divine nature. This is divine compassion that drove Jesus. And so if we were to ask that question, so who was it that he had compassion for? Remember in Matthew, it said it was the crowds. The crowds is the world around us. Jesus looked out and he saw people. He said, they're like sheep, but he didn't just describe them as sheep. He said, they are sheep that are in trouble. They are sheep that are wandering, that are helpless, that are struggling. And he saw sheep that really, there's a prowling lion, the real enemy, coming after them, seeking to devour them. And as he saw who they were and where they were at, he had compassion on them. And no matter what they had done, no matter what they thought about him, no matter even what they said about him, see, the good shepherd, he saw them, and nothing could stop the compassionate heart of Jesus for them. And because of that, church, this is what we got to hear. Nothing can ever stop the compassionate heart of Jesus in us. And if we look at the Gospels, as we saw that image, and we could see like how it modeled the ministry of Jesus, we can continue on the rest of the New Testament, and we can see where we are called as the people of God to over and over again to respond and follow the model of Jesus. Colossians 3:12, just one of those verses. But it's a great one. Therefore, God's chosen ones, that's you and me, God's people, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion. Notice that extra piece in there. Heartfelt, sincere, it's real, it's driving you, just like it did Jesus, and it was stirred within him, so it should stir within us. Heartfelt compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And not just toward each other. As it characterized Jesus in all of his ministry and all of his interactions, so it has to characterize us in everything we do, in what we say, in how we speak, and how we act. Because if you look at what compassion means, and maybe some of you already know this, but compassion literally means to suffer together. And I want you to think about this idea for a second, to suffer together. It means literally, I'm going to join with them. If they're going through something, if there's something happening in their lives, and when that compassion is stirred, I find myself joining with them. I meet them where they're at. Even if they're suffering because of their own sins. Even if they're suffering because of consequences of bad choices they've made. There's no stipulations to which compassion is meant to flow out of us toward the world around us, toward people that we see. Nothing stopped Jesus' compassion. Nothing can stop ours. And here's the thing, I can't have compassion from a distance because I'm going to join in their suffering. I'm going to come and meet them where they are at. I can't do that from a distance. I can't have compassion just by writing a check to a good cause. Keeps me at a distance. I can't have compassion by marching down the streets and yelling at all the sheep that I don't like and disagree with. I can't have compassion. And let me be very clear about this. I can't have compassion for some of the crowd and not the other. I can't choose who I want to have compassion for. If I claim Jesus, If I say this life belongs to Jesus and this life is going to be lived for Jesus, then I have to recognize that I cannot have compassion for one group and the other. I cannot claim to have compassion for a mother and not have compassion for an unborn baby. But I also cannot claim to have compassion for an unborn baby and not claim to have compassion and not live with compassion for the mother who is hurting and scared and broken, confused, like a sheep without a shepherd. Because compassion can never have passivity. Compassion is not something we just think. It's not just something that we feel. It's something that moves within us and causes us, as we see in the model of Jesus, not just to see something and believe something, but to cause us to move to action. Where we seek to understand and we seek to listen. We don't just seek to be heard. Yet also with God's kindness, with compassion, we come just like Jesus did and speak truth. You know, Jesus never held back on truth. To show compassion does not mean we don't tell the truth. Jesus told the truth. What compassion means is compassion guided how Jesus spoke the truth. Compassion guided how he spoke and how he interacted and how he loved and how he engaged in the lost world that he was sent into, that he's also sent us into. And if we want to see what compassion looked like in the ministry of Jesus, I want to take us to what I think is one of my favorite stories that I think just beautifully shows this for us in John chapter 8. Now, back on January 10th of this year, I actually preached on John chapter 8 already. So if you want to go back and hear kind of a deeper message on John 8, you can go back to our YouTube channel and check that out. And you can hear that as we dive way more into that. But I just want to quickly look at the story from John chapter 8. What it does, it tells us that Jesus was in the temple and he was teaching. And as he was teaching, that these religious leaders, the real spiritual so-called people of his day, they came up to him and they were dragging a woman behind them and they put the woman in front of Jesus and he said, Jesus, see this woman? See this woman? She was caught in adultery, Jesus. And the law of Moses says that we're supposed to stone her. So Jesus, what do you think we should do? And it actually says they were trying to trap him. They thought they had the whole thing figured out. They were so convinced they knew what they were supposed to do of their own righteousness. And then as it said, they persist and they kept questioning Jesus. It said that Jesus stood up and he said to them, okay. In verse 7, the one without sin that is among you, you be the first to throw a stone at her. And then it says that as they just stood there, that one by one they left, starting with the older and then the younger, as they realized what Jesus had said. As they started to realize what it meant that he said. And then it says that Jesus turned to the woman and he said in verse 10, women, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And then Jesus said, well, then neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. And as we look at how Jesus we interacted with this woman. It shows us this beautiful picture on how he showed compassion to someone that had been caught and was broken and was in the middle of sin, that was in the middle of the consequences of the sin that they had committed, she had committed before God. But look what his very first act of compassion was to her. His first act of compassion, he protected her. He protected her against the religious people gathering their stones, ready to bring their execution of their condemnation against her because they were so convinced of their righteousness more than hers. And they were going to make sure that she knew it and others knew it. The first act of compassion is Jesus protected the vulnerable, protected the one that needed help, that was lost and broken. The next act of compassion is Jesus then met her in her brokenness and he showed her kindness. Showed her kindness because his goal was to help her find a way out. But we knew, and we see this in Old and New Testament, we see the scriptures, I say them all the time up here, it is the kindness of God that brings us to repentance. So he met her in her brokenness and he showed her kindness in order to help her find a way out. And then he showed her compassion. And we can't miss this last one either. This is just as important as the first two. Showed her compassion by inviting her to turn away from sin. He showed her compassion by showing her a way out, but offering her forgiveness. By offering her a way to see the forgiveness and the mercy of God to experience healing and to live a new life following Jesus. But you know what? There's this crazy false narrative out there in the Christian world. And it's this crazy narrative that somehow when people are in bad situations because of their sin or in bad situations because of the choices we have, we've somehow got ourselves convinced, well, they just need to suffer the consequences. That'll teach them. That's how people learn their lessons, right? When they have to really suffer all the consequences of all the choices they made. And I just want to tell you, I am so glad that Jesus did not say that to me. Aren't you glad he didn't say that to you? Aren't you glad that when you were in your worst place of sin and darkness, that he didn't say, wow, man, that was just stupid. That's your fault. You deal with that and then come find me when you're done. Aren't you glad that he reached his hand just like he did this woman and he sought us and he came after us and he reached out to us and he called us to a different life? Because in this world, right now, as we see what's happening around us in this world, regardless of what's happening in politics, forget about that. In the world around us right now, we see people are fighting against God. They are. They're fighting against what God says about life, about his own creation. And yeah, people deny God as their creator. People run around and they've chosen to rebel and they sin against God. They've chosen to say, we don't care. We think that's stupid. We think that's silly. That's what the crowds are doing. And so we got to respond to them the way Jesus responded to the crowd. So that person in your office, they might know you're a Christian, so right now maybe they're just antagonizing you just a little bit more. To the person that maybe is in your classroom, your fellow students, whether you're in high school, whether you're about to go to college, you're going to run to people that are going to challenge what you believe. How we will respond to them. Whether it's even people in our own families, that maybe you, this is what you believe and you know what the Bible teaches, but they don't care. They don't care about God. They don't care what he says. They just think there's something wrong with you. Maybe it's how what we look and see our next door neighbors or the people that are protesting or the angry posts on Facebook. Whoever it is that we see, we have to be a church that is known for responding in compassion. Don't be known for how we throw rocks. Don't be known for your great Facebook debates and corrections. But show compassion to those who are lost and broken, like sheep without a shepherd, in need of Jesus. Can't stand above them like the Pharisees. Be like Jesus and join them. The compassion means to join them in their suffering, to meet them where they're at, and to help provide a way to walk out of that again. If we're gonna be a church of compassion, we gotta do what we saw Jesus do. Just like this story, right? Woman caught in adultery, he protected her, showed kindness to her, to help her find repentance, but it's not the only one. Maybe we show compassion like Jesus did to the woman that was at the well in John chapter 4, another great story. The person that was the outcast, that no one wanted anything to do with, that she thought no one cared about her. She thought no one would think good about her. She came, she was hiding, she came alone, and Jesus went to meet with her, engaging with her in a way that everyone else would have said, was that a lie? No, Jesus, you can't do that. It's not what Jesus did. He wanted her to feel loved and to know truth and to help her find a way to Jesus. Or sometimes maybe we model Jesus and his compassion for a man like Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus was a liar. He was a thief. And in the community, he didn't have a good reputation. People didn't like this guy. And they had good reason to not like him. He had stolen from them, the way he had treated them. But as Jesus is coming through the town, he looks up and he sees Zacchaeus. And he says, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm going to go to your house today. He was moved with compassion as he saw this broken man. And he went to Zacchaeus' house. And then it tells us, what did Jesus do? Actually, he didn't preach at him. He didn't tell him all the things he was doing wrong. And this story is really interesting. Jesus shows up, he has a meal with him, and Zacchaeus is moved by the love and kindness of Christ. Because the thing is, he knew his sin. He knew his brokenness. But when Jesus showed up in his life and showed him love and compassion and kindness, it tells us that his heart was stirred and he turned to Jesus in repentance and said, I'm going to make right what I have done wrong. And I'm not going to do this anymore. And Jesus says, look, salvation has come to this house today. And so if we look at the model of Jesus, maybe we can look now and ask the question, so what does it practically look like in the life of us as a church? What does it practically look like to live compassion in our world around us? And I want to say, I think the number one way, the first way we can start to practice compassion is recognizing that really these things are going to happen not in the streets, but in conversations. This is where we, with people we have relationships with, God, with people that God puts in front of us, with people that we begin to interact with, we begin to have conversations with them, we begin to model what Jesus did in our conversations with them. Many years ago, as I was on the college campus, I was taking some classes, and I was in a group with four or five other college students. And we actually needed to do a project, and so we actually came up here to the church to do the project. And we drove together, and on the way we were driving back and we're having a conversation. They know I'm a Christian. I'm the only Christian in the group. They know who I am. And so we're having this conversation, and we start to talk about this topic of abortion. And the first thing I did, I just listened. Because they began to tell me the stories of their own interactions with Christians where they felt like there was no compassion. There was just anger and spite. And they began to tell me about their experiences and why they just really didn't have much respect for that idea or for that behavior, because who would want to be a part of something that treats people like that? And I listened. And then after we'd been in the car for a while, then I started to ask some questions. So tell me what you believe about this, or what do you think about this situation? And I start to ask questions. Then I start to just say, well, here's what drives what I believe. Here's what I believe about life, and here's why. Many things that were in our statement today. And just in conversations, I began to share with them what I believe and why I believe it, what drives my heart, what drives my compassion and wanting to meet people with where they're at. I talked about how the need is for the church to do that and how we've kind of missed that many times. You know what happened? I won a hearing. And as we begin to talk, I saw them begin to say, I hadn't thought of that before. I hadn't considered that. Maybe there's another way of thinking about this topic. And I don't know where they are right now. I don't know for sure what they believe, but I know at least in those conversations that they got to hear pieces of the gospel. They got to hear what I believe about Jesus, about what he has done, but also why I believe life is sacred and so important. And one conversation at a time, one act of compassion, you can help people see more of Jesus. Another way that we show compassion for people is when they come to the doors of our church. And when I say that, I mean however they come to the doors of our church. No matter how they end up showing up at the doors of our church. Even if they come to the front doors to protest. That's been happening at churches around the United States. Ever since this was leaked back in May, people have gone, groups have gone to churches to protest. You know, the thing is, if they stand outside protesting, we're not going to pick up signs. You know what we're going to do? We're going to pick up coffee and take it to them. And we're going to offer and say, hey, if you want, I do want to listen to you. I want to hear what you have to say. And even if they're yelling, we're not going to yell back. We're going to clothe ourselves, as Colossians says, with kindness and compassion. We're going to be willing to have conversations. And if nothing else comes out of it, even if they pour the coffee out, we're going to still love them like Jesus loved us. And then like God, as the time comes, maybe the third or fourth time, but the door will open. God will open that door for you to have that conversation. Listen. Listen first, but then come and be ready to speak. You know why people kept coming to Jesus? The crowds followed him. They hadn't always all seen what he did, but they heard about his reputation. They heard about his compassion. They heard about who he was and what he did that overflowed out of his compassion, and they came trying to figure out, what is going on? This is crazy. No one else does this. And they came to try to understand what was happening, to get a peek. There's a story. A couple years ago, my wife and I, we were in England, and we were at Speaker's Corner. And if you know anything about Speaker's Corner is where people just get up on their soapboxes. Where we get that from. They get up on their soapboxes, they spout their political debates, they do religious debates, and as we're in there, we're in front of this guy who's claiming to be a Christian, a pastor, and he is just yelling. I mean, just going after people, telling them how terrible they are, telling them how much they are gonna burn, and he's just going after these people, and it's just starting to make us sick. And yeah, I didn't say anything. You know who said something? My wife said something. You know what she did? She threw her hands up in the air and said, hey, that's not the Jesus I know. You want to see the Jesus I know? Follow me. Threw her hands in the air. About four or five people followed us. But you know what? Those people heard about Jesus. And even though they've sat in Preacher's Corner and heard preacher after preacher, that probably was the first time they actually heard the gospel of Jesus. Because of how she brought it. She didn't change the truth. But she spoke with compassion and kindness I love that woman. We show compassion also because we are a church that always offers forgiveness. Compassion, forgiveness for those that have wronged us, those that maybe have done something to us, but always compassion, forgiveness for anybody who has had an abortion. And I just want us to hang out here for just a moment. Because I know with this topic comes a lot of shame. There's maybe people in this room or watching online, you've had an abortion and you're hiding. You're afraid. What will people think if they actually knew? What will people do? And I want to tell you right now that there is no difference anything you have done in your life than anything I've done in my life. Whatever sins, whatever I have committed against God, it is the same. We are all on the same page. And so if we want to understand God's compassion, know that I know the mercy and forgiveness of God that I have received, and I want you to experience that same mercy and compassion and forgiveness and healing. Because he's waiting for us to come and experience that from him. And so if you're part of our church family or even listening in any way, I want you to know that you're maybe wrestling with this or wrestling with anything you have done. We are not here for condemnation. We are here to help you find love and compassion and healing. We'll help you find Jesus. There is healing in Jesus. There's healing in what he offers. And yeah, it can be hard to first open that up, and it can be hard to go after that womb. But I want you to know that Jesus invites each and every one of us. None of us are different. No sin is worse. And the same compassion, as even Jesus said, the one without sin, throw the first stone. I got no stones I can throw. Do you? So we come together. We want to offer you, and then as a church also recognize we want to be ready and waiting to offer compassion and forgiveness. Because the truth is, at Bethany, we've been thinking about how do we respond to this? How do we prepare to be a church that actually responds to what is happening in the world around us? And we've talked about this, but there's also practical things that we can be doing because we want to be proactive as a church. Hey, this is not just something happening in the philosophical world around us. This is real life, real people, real pain, real hurt. And we want to respond not only to the life that is in the womb, but we want to respond to the life of a mother and the families and those struggling with what they should do and why they should do it and the things that drive them to make these decisions that maybe don't quite make sense to you. But we want to come and meet with them where they're at. And there's things that we do at Bethany to try and meet that. And to be honest with you, church, we are just like barely scratching the surface. But some of the things we believe, we want to be a church that accomplishes living out the compassion of God through our engage. This is why we know we've got to be in church that engages. It's got to be outside of our doors, specifically in our Mercy Justice Ministry. And you've heard a lot about that. Maybe you're going to hear more this summer. But the Mercy Justice Ministry, it helps us as Bethany to see God. Yes, as a church, but also it should challenge us as we think about what God has called us to do. How do I individually respond to the calling to give God glory and really live out what I believe God has called us to do, reaching out to the marginalized and the most vulnerable and the hurting people in our own community. And so we believe at Bethany that God has called us specifically to accomplish this, first of all, through our ministry to foster care families and the children, foster children in La Crosse County. And you have on your Save the Date card what we're already doing this summer to try and do more to reach out to those families and reach out to those kids. And church, this is an incredible way for us to respond, to be proactive, to help meet needs. And tell you what, La Crosse County is looking to us. Because what we're doing, we're able to really meet them and help them. We have people that all of a sudden get a foster kid and show up at the door of Bethany because we have supplies ready to go because of our backpack drives. They know where to go. They know who will meet them in their brokenness. They know who will join them in their suffering that has compassion for them. We also seek to do this by helping women in our community, but in our partnership with Adult Teen Challenge. Maybe you've seen that or heard of that. We're still seeing more that God calls to do with that. You're going to hear more about that at the end of the summer and into the fall, some specific things that we can do as a church there. But truthfully, in all of this, it should be challenging us to think that we need to continually be seeking God for opportunities to offer this love and compassion and support to meet spiritual and physical needs of women and men, of children, of families, anybody in times of crisis and vulnerability. Church, this is the mission that God has put us on. And if we believe that we are to be his church, and that is what he has called us to be for just such a time as this, to respond, not just up here with what we believe, but respond with action of who we know God has called us to be. We need to be a church that is the place for anyone to come, no matter the past, no matter what they've done, no matter what they've said, even if they're not even sure what they believe yet, where they know that they can find love and compassion. Because we're willing to truly pursue and reach out to any family, any mom and any dad and any child, anybody that is in this world, and recognize that they are a life created by God with dignity. You know, the early church, specifically I read recently about the church in Ephesus. So the church in Ephesus, as they started to realize how much their culture had perverted the value of life, as they started to learn to follow Jesus more, there was this thing that would happen in Ephesus. As babies were being born that people did not want, abortion wasn't really an option. Science hadn't gotten there yet. But as babies were being born and people didn't want, they would take those babies and they would take them to this spot outside the, basically a garbage dump for people, for babies. And they would put the babies in the garbage and they would move on. Well, the church saw what was happening and they began to experience a heart of compassion. And see what the church did? They would go out every day to these places and they would find to see if there was a baby there. And they would take those babies into their homes. Didn't matter how many kids they had. Every life is worthy of dignity. Every life is sacred to God. And when they would take those babies and they begin to be known throughout the community, there's something different. Not just because of what they said, but because of what they did. And here's the truth, church. We might not be able to stop abortion, but we can, like the early church, fight for every life that is born to be loved and protected as one created in the image of God. No matter who they are, where they are. This has got to be who we're known for. You know, it's easy to say in a message like this, and I've said this before because the world is watching, but you know what I've really been convicted of? No, you know what? Because of who my God is, even if no one's watching. Because this is what God has done for me and is how God has called me to respond to what he has done. Because our actions are going to be the true measure of what we believe about Christ more than anything that we say. But here's what I want to close today. I want to start with prayer. This is a heavy topic. And even as we come to it, a mess like this, it doesn't resolve a lot of the tensions that come with it. But you know what? There's something that all of us have that we can start with, that's going to be prayer. So I want us to take a few moments and just have these a few prayer hits right here in our time together in our worship. Will you bow your heads with me? And the first thing I want us to pray for, I'm going to just mention it, and then we're just going to have a couple moments of silence. Pray that God would clothe us with a heart of compassion. To be a church that truly lives the compassion of Jesus to anyone, everyone, no matter what. And they even would show us where we have not had compassion. Take a few moments. Next, I want us to pray for those maybe in our church and outside of our church that are hurting, that are scared, maybe are angry, that are struggling either with guilt or even with frustration or maybe happening Pray that God would open up a chance for us to show them compassion. Pray that God would bring someone like that into your life at work or at school. Pray that God would bring someone like that into our church. Take a few moments for that as well. God, we are a broken people, but we have an awesome God. And God, as we look at everything going around us, I pray that you'd help us walk out right now where we began, Lord, not to have political conversations, not to get our philosophical debates, but to start with and to be driven by a biblical conversation, who you are. God, the world around us needs you just like we have needed you. We need you still. So Lord, give us hearts of compassion, to be a church of compassion that loves people, speaks the truth, but that everything is driven by the heart that you showed us, Jesus, in your ministry to us and to the world around us. God, do a work in us as a people to be your people outside the doors of this church with all those we meet. In Jesus' name.